Praise the Lord, everyone out there in YouTube, radio land, and Facebook land. This is Dr. Dennis James Woods. We're here with you one more time with the Revelation Revolution podcast. I'm so glad that you have tuned in to this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, because we are again going to be dealing with the two witnesses. Now, the two witnesses play a key role in Revelation for several reasons, but tonight, we're going to look at their absolutely amazing ministry and the impact that they're going to have on the people on the earth at the time. And so you're not going to want to miss any of this. It is a fantastic teaching, and I just want you to learn about all of these mysteries that are contained in the book of Revelation, the book that people don't read, the book that pastors don't teach from. This is a special message to all of our listeners that are in Australia, Chile, or Ireland. Please reach out to me at the email address that you will see on this page. It is very important that I talk with you and interact with you in Jesus' mighty name. Enjoy the program. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. As you look around and look at all the wars and rumors of wars, if you look at all of the natural disasters that have happened, devastating ones, things like COVID-19 that shut down the entire planet. If you look at the wildfires that have been happening, just stuff burning up, glory to God. If you look at the extreme weather we've been having, all the tornadoes and snowstorms, types, levels of snow that California has never seen before. And then by the time it gets summer, stuff will be on fire in California again. Look at the fires in Texas. Look at the wars that are going on. Ukraine, Israel, glory to God, fighting with Hamas. China looking at Taiwan, North and South Korea, tensions are high. Look at the total collapse of the country of Haiti. Glory to God. Look at the fire that happened in Hawaii. Just all of a sudden, one night, burnt half the island up. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in perilous times. Look at the murder rate, the crime rates. Look at all of the sin and the wickedness that are permeating our societies. Glory to God. Look at the tension in politics in America and in Russia and all over the place. It isn't just here. Glory to God. All of these are signs, birth pains that the Lord is preparing to come back, ladies and gentlemen. And I would like to submit to you that the book that pastors don't teach from, that people don't read, the book of Revelation will soon become the most important book in the Bible. Why? Because Revelation has information in it that no other book on the planet has about the days and the years that are leading up to, called the Daniel 70th week, a seven-year period, glory to God, which the last half of that is called the Great Tribulation. Ladies and gentlemen, because Jesus said, it will be a time of trouble that has never been since the beginning of the world unto his time, nor will ever be. What that means, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing in history past, biblical history or any history, to compare the turbulence and the cataclysmic events that are going to be happening. There's nothing to compare it to. And so since there's nothing to compare it to, God gave us a book that has the information about that time. How else would we know about the two witnesses? How else would we know about the mark of the beast and the false prophet? How else would we know about heaven, the 12 foundations of heaven, and how it's going to be made of streets of gold and all the beautiful stones, and whose names are going to be written on the gates, and whose names are going to be written on the foundations, and all of that. We learn about what happens to Satan, how he is locked in prison for 1,000 years, let out, and then is destroyed. We learn about what happens to the beast. We learn about the second coming of Christ and the saints that are with him. We learn about the seven churches of Asia Minor, but we also learn about the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls, and we get play-by-play information on all of this, ladies and gentlemen. There's no book in the universe like the book of Revelation. But unfortunately, people don't read it. One of the reasons they don't read it is because they've been told, most of us have been told, that most of what had in the book of Revelation does not apply to the church. And so because we've been told that, people just say, well, we don't need it. I don't need to read it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just assume for a minute that God knew what he was doing. I know that sounds crazy, sounds hilarious, right? But assume that God knew what he was doing. And he put the book in the book of Revelation in the Bible, made sure it was in the Bible for a reason. Do you think God was just wasting his time? Oh, just wasting our time? That there's actually a book in the New Testament that has nothing to do with the church. Does that make sense? That makes sense, does it? Why is it there? Especially as we're getting closer and we see these things about to take place, ladies and gentlemen. This is why I have endeavored to write a commentary, a verse-by-verse explanation of the book of Revelation so that people could have it and be blessed by it and grow by it, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says, blessed is he that readeth Revelation. Blessed is he that readeth and keepeth the words that are written in this book. It's the only book of the Bible that comes with a blessing simply for reading and keeping it. At least read it so you can get the blessing, right? Glory to God. So tonight we are going to continue in the lesson of the two witnesses, the prelude to the heavenly invasion. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to miss this in Jesus' name. Father, bless your people. Be with us, Lord God, as we study the word, as we break bread and fellowship with those that you have connected me with. We pray, Lord God, that this message goes global, that it goes viral in the name of Jesus, that people can be blessed by it, Lord God. Be with me, Lord God, these lips of clay. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Let's get into our lesson. So we're going to start out with the passage, Lord God, our text on this morning, this evening. And this is what it says, and I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Glory to God. It's Revelation 11:3, and that's from the NASB, in the name of Jesus. Now, sackcloth was a garment of coarse material fashioned from a goat or a camel's hair, worn as a sign of mourning or anguish, also marked by fasting and sitting on an ash heap. The shape of the garment could have been either a loose-fitting sack placed over the shoulders or a loin cloth. And so it was a it, sackcloth was a garment of mourning, but it was also one of the garments that prophets also wore, like John the Baptist, glory to God. He wore camel's hair, glory to God, or Elijah. You know, some of these people, they wore these garments, glory to God. But sackcloth was a particular type of garment. It was a garment of mourning. And in this case of the two witnesses, not only a garment of mourning, but a symbol of the message that they would bring that brought judgment. And so we want to analyze that. Now, no one knows who the two witnesses will be, ladies and gentlemen. There are many theories, but there's no certainty. As we covered in my previous one, some say it's Enoch and Elijah, Enoch and Moses, and whoever. Some say it represents the church and all of this. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the text in Revelation doesn't say, so we can't say. We have to be silent where the Bible is silent. No one knows. Don't let nobody tell you they do know. Glory to God, because don't nobody know that. It's not in the Bible, so how do they know? Right? In the name of Jesus. Now, Revelation uses the time that the two witnesses are going to be doing their ministry. It is a measurement in days. In this case of the two witnesses, it is the prophet. They're going to prophesy or have a ministry for 1260 days. You'll find that in a Revelation 3:11, and actually in reference to to Israel that's going to flee, the remnant that's going to flee into the wilderness in 12:6, that 1260 days is also used there. Now, there's another time measurement in the book of Revelation that's important, and it is called times and the half of time. These are not measurements in days, but measurement in years. In other words, time represents 1 year, glory to God. Times, the word times with an S, represents 2 years, and half a time represents a half of year. Now, in the Hebrew or in the Old Testament, sorry, it's not Hebrew, but the Chaldean word idon is where our English word time there is translated from, in the name of Jesus. The next measurement of time is the 42 months. Now, 42 months is in reference to how long the beast has to reign, in the name of Jesus. And so we get measurements of time in Revelation, 1260 days, or either times in half a time, or we get 42 months. Glory to God. And 42 months is seen in Revelation 13:5. Glory to God. Now, all of these times, even though they're stated differently, and even though they're either measured in days, years, or months, all of these measurements equal 3.5 years. 3.5 years is significant because it's half of seven, and we're dealing with a 7-year period called Daniel's 70th week. And that can be found in Daniel 9:27. And in the middle of that 7-year period, 3.5 years in, this is when the beast ascends from the bottomless pit, gets into the person that we'll know as the Antichrist and the beast. What I mean, so we'll know as not because I don't know if this will happen in our lifetime, but I do believe the church will still be here because I'm pre-rap, I'm not pre-trib. Glory to God. And so when the beast that ascends from the bottomless pit gets into his human counterpart, the son of perdition or the son of destruction, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 4. And so when that happens, that kicks in the Antichrist's final 7-year period. in the name of Jesus. And so this is why it's important to at least understand how Revelation, the book of Revelation, is measuring things. Now, Revelation never mentions a 7-year period. Glory to God. We only know about the 7-year period through Daniel's 70th week, but Daniel is a companion to Revelation. Revelation is actually the more detailed continuation of Daniel, because in Daniel's day, he was told to seal up the book and the vision of prophecy, because it was for a time in the future. But when John got it hundreds of years later, he was told to break and loose. Well, John didn't do it, but the revelation was then released so that we could have it in the earth realm in more fuller form. And so this is what the contents of the book of Revelation was then contained in a book, and we see it in the sixth chapter. And this book was sealed with seven seals. So it was a round scroll that had seals on it, but the book wasn't fully opened until you opened all seven seals. And so that just kind of just a little bit. So I don't want to get stuck there, because we're talking about the two witnesses, and I just wanted to give some background information. Now, these men will be powerful and divinely protected. Now, listen to this. It says, beginning at, we're still in Revelation 11, and this is at the fourth verse. It says, "These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth." There is a reference also so to the two witnesses in Zechariah. Okay, and if anyone wants to harm them, fire flows out of their mouth and devours their enemies. So if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this way. So this is an apocalyptic way of saying you won't be able to kill the two witnesses. They'll be divinely protected. Whoever tries to kill them will end up dying. Okay, so that's basically what that means. And verse number six, it says, "These have power to shut up heaven, to shut up the sky, so that rain will not fall during the days of their prophesying, and they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every plague." Look at what it says, "as often as they desire." Okay, now, so that means when these two guys come on the scene, ladies and gentlemen, they are going to be wreaking havoc. And not only are they going to be wreaking havoc, they will be indestructible. You won't be able to kill them. You won't be able to stop them. And they're going to have power in order to stop it from raining. Glory to God. For 3.5 years, there will be places where it does not rain on the earth for 3.5 years. That will be devastating to the ecology. But not only that, they will have the power to turn water into blood, the water that is it. You talk about no rain, but then on top of that, to be able to turn water into blood and to smite the earth with all plagues. Now, what most of us believe that means is the plagues that Moses had that he unleashed on Egypt. Glory to God. And so what I want you to think about is, think about this. Think about the mudslides and the earthquakes and these terrible storms and all of these bad things that start happening on the earth. You know, we all shudder when we hear about these devastating tornadoes and these hurricanes and these natural disasters that no man has control over. Well, just guess what, ladies and gentlemen? When the two witnesses come on the scene, they are going to be responsible for this stuff, and they're going to claim responsibility. So people are going to know that these guys are doing this. See, this is off the chain, but this is why it's in the Bible. God wanted us to know what's going to happen. He wants us to know for a reason. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to make the world absolutely hate these people, because they're going to be messing with drinking water. They're going to be messing with plagues. They're going to be messing with rain, and that affects everybody. So the entire planet is going to be impacted by these two sackcloth wearing prophets that are prophesying over the earth and bringing judgments onto the earth. So this is going to be powerful, ladies and gentlemen. This is not going to be a joke. So let us continue on. Glory to God. Now, this is what it says. Now, when they have finished their testimony, when they have finished their 1,260 days that they have to minister, which is 3.5 years, glory to God. Now, I teach the two witnesses are in the first half of the 70th week. Now, a lot of people are going to disagree with that. Right off the sudden, oh, they're in the last half and all of that. I have a teaching that will follow this one with 10 reasons why the two witnesses cannot be in the last half. Glory to God. It's too much conflict if you put them there. But anyway, let's just flow with me for right now. It says, when they have finished their testimony, I want you to look at this, ladies and gentlemen. The beast that comes up out of the abyss. If you have a King James version, it says the beast that comes out of the bottomless pit will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. So they are going to be indestructible for 3.5 years. Nobody will be able to touch them. They're going to be wreaking havoc on the earth, bringing all kind of plagues, turning water into blood, stopping rain, all that. Probably in other all kind of plagues that the Bible doesn't mention here, but it says, and they'll be able to do it as often as they want to. They'll have complete volitional power over these, and wherever they want to unleash them, they're going to unleash them. So what's going to happen is the entire planet is going to hate them. So now, when their 1,260 days is up, or their 3.5 years, the beast that comes up out of the abyss. Now, this is the demonic aspect of the individual we know of as the beast or the Antichrist. So, the beast, ladies and gentlemen, so you know, the beast is a kingdom consisting of 10 nation confederacy, glory to God. It is a man, the person. He'll have a mother and father, he'll be a human being, he'll go to college and all that stuff, be a teenager, grow up just like anybody else, glory to God. But at a certain point, glory to God, after this the 3.5 years, once we get into Daniel 70 a week, he will then be possessed by the beast that comes out of the bottomless pit. The beast that comes out of the bottomless pit, that is a demonic principality that's not a human. So this is the one that comes out of the bottomless pit, which is a prison for demons, and he operates through the person that we will call the Antichrist or the beast of Revelation 13. So this is the first time the beast is actually mentioned in Revelation, and his first mention connects with his ascension from the bottomless pit in the name of Jesus. And so let us continue. So after he kills the two witnesses, he's going to kill them. They're going, and the Bible tells us where they're going to be. Listen to what it says, verse number 8. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is mystically called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. So now we know, even though it's called Sodom and Egypt mystically or in spiritually, that's what it's called because that's how God sees it, ladies and gentlemen. And that's getting back to Israel. Even the Israel today, though it is a place, the Jews and the house of Israel are God's covenant people, and that land he gave to them, that doesn't mean everything they do is right. That doesn't mean everything they do is good. But the Bible says God is going to destroy every nation that comes against Jerusalem to battle. But that'll happen later on. We're going to be looking at that. And so Israel being there, Israel being in the land is a part of the whole prophetic landscape, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me, for end time prophecy. So you have to understand that and the importance of Israel being back in that land. And so right now, what's happening is the world is seeing it like they're hating on the Jews and from the river to the sea, and all these people are saying Israel don't need to be there. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel isn't going anywhere. It's not going to happen. And if I was the people that's over there, I would leave Israel alone because they have been fighting these battles and these wars with these ancient people. They are an ancient people. And Israel's an ancient people, and the Philistines, the Palestinians, the Canaanites, and all these people, these are the modern day descendants from ancient people that have been in that territory for thousands of years, and Israel has been fighting them for thousands of years, and they've been fighting back. And that's what the Old Testament, a lot of these Old Testament battles are about, the conflict between the serpent and the seed, going all the way back to the proto-evangelium, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, and all of that, all the way into the future. Glory to God. It's a fight between the seed and the serpent. The seed is Christ, the serpent is Satan, and he's been using nations and people to come against the covenant people that God had promised through Abraham all the way down. And so this is why when the two witnesses come, they're going to be in Jerusalem. Glory to God. And so when the Antichrist, or the beast from the bottomless pit, through the Antichrist kills them, they're gonna be, their bodies are gonna lay in the streets of Jerusalem. We know it's Jerusalem because the Bible says where their Lord was crucified, and he was their Lord because in the beginning we saw that he said, the Lord said, I'm gonna send my two witnesses, possessive, meaning they belong to me. And that's why here it says their Lord, where their Lord was crucified, which is the Lord, not only their Lord, but the Lord, our Lord as well, was crucified. So we know that's Jerusalem. Glory to God. And nine, verse number nine, it says, listen to this. And those from the people and the tribes and the tongues and the nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days. Now, I want you, let me just finish this, and will not permit their bodies to be put and laid into a tomb. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and celebrate, and they will send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these two men are going to be hated so bad that when the beast comes from the bottomless pit, gets into the human counterpart, and kills them, it's going to cause the entire world to celebrate. But not only that, ladies and gentlemen, not only that, listen to this. The Bible says, those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days. Now, stop and think of what that means. Stop and think of what that means. When did we get the ability for the entire world to be able to see something? It didn't happen until the 20th century, ladies and gentlemen. It didn't happen until we start going to outer space and putting satellites and have the internet and technology. This was not possible before the 20th century, period. This wasn't possible. Glory to God. It wasn't possible. The first space person to go up was Russia with Sputnik. Kennedy responded with us going to the moon. That was in the late 60s. And the space race has been on ever since. So now we have satellites up there. Now we have space stations. We literally have nests in the stars. We have a space force now that's looking at going out to outer space. You have Jeff Bezos and the guy over at a Tesla and SpaceX, I forget his name. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Oh, and these guys are building rocket ships, glory to God, so they can explore space and even move people up there. But now we're living in the days where we have the technology where people can watch something happen in real time that is on the other side of the globe. This just happened, ladies and gentlemen, since the 20th century, but now we're in the 21st century. The technology is off the chain. We can do this now. So that means this could not have been fulfilled at any other time in Earth's history. Only now is this possible. Glory to God. And only now that Israel is back in the land. See, that had to happen. That didn't happen until the 20th century because they had been put out, glory to God, and God scattered them, glory to God, in 70 AD to all the nations of the world. and some of the European Jews and some of the African Jews in the 90s, these are the beta Jews, actually live in Israel, glory to God. And you have black Jews over there now that live in Israel, glory to God. So, and I'm not talking about the Hebrew Israelites, I'm talking about real Jews that were from Ethiopia and parts of Africa that actually live in Israel now. Look up for your own enjoyment. Look up Miss Universe for 2013, Miss Israel. See Miss Israel 2013. Look it up on Google. She's a black lady, a black Ethiopian Jew, not from Chicago, not from the United States, Ethiopian Jew that had moved there in the Aliyah transfers that took people, Jew, black Jews from Israel, from Africa back to Israel. So, and there's still other Jews out there. There's going to be some surprises, but the land of Israel, the nation of Israel, is there already. And so this is why these prophecies are so important. But anyway, getting back to the two witnesses. So now the two witnesses, as their bodies lay in the street, the world is not going to want them to be buried because they're going to want to see them dead. The world is going to hate them. They're not even going to want to put them in graves. And verse number 10, it says, and those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and celebrate, and they will send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, the ability to send gifts one to another in such a short time that logistically that's only possible now. Glory to God. Get overnight packages and one day you can send them around the world through jets. Glory to God. You can do these things now in the name of Jesus. You couldn't do that until the 20th and the 21st century. Glory to God. Okay, now, but listen what happens next. Now, ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your socks because I'm telling you, this is going to get heavy. Listen to this. But after 3.5 days, the breath of the life from God came into them and they stood upon their feet. Ladies and gentlemen, they were dead in the streets in Jerusalem for 3.5 days. The world is celebrating. They're partying. They're going, oh, these men are dead. And we finally got rid of them. And all of a sudden, they're going to come back to life and stand on their feet because God is powerful. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Glory to God. They stood upon their feet. Listen to what it says. And great fear fell upon those who were watching them. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the people from around the world are going to see this. MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, BBC, Al Jazeera, all the news agencies from all over the world, their cameras are going to be on them, looking at it in real time. In real time, 21st century technology, ladies and gentlemen, and all of a sudden they're going to see them dead, and people are going to see these men come back to life. They're going to watch it on TV. They're going to see it, ladies and gentlemen. And said, and great fear is going to fell on those who are watching them. And check this out, verse number 12. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. Then they went up into heaven in the cloud. And their enemies watched them. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, you got to get what this means. The entire world is going to be celebrating that they're dead. They're going to be celebrating the Antichrist. He's going to be famous because of this. Glory to God, he's going to be famous because of it. It's what's going to propel him to power, killing the two witnesses. Glory to God. Then he's going to walk in it after this on the wings of that. That's when he walks in the temple and declares himself God. Because he will have just killed the two witnesses. They will be indestructible. These guys got all this power. So as they're laying dead in the street, the world is celebrating, the world is watching them and talking about good for them. We glad we got them and all of that. Then they're gonna stand, God, they're gonna stand on their feet And not only do they come back to life, God calls them up into heaven. And the Bible says they take up from the earth, ladies and gentlemen, and are met with a cloud. Glory to God, while the world watches them. Now, I want you to think about what this means. Think about what this means. You're watching two people that had supernatural power to cause plagues, turn water into blood, stop rain. Glory to God to be able to do that. And we're indestructible. Then all of a sudden, a hero comes on the scene and kills them. The world celebrates. And as the world is celebrating, all of a sudden they come back to life and stand on their feet. And then they lift off with no rocket ship, no transporter, no nothing. They lift up into heaven and are received with a cloud, by a cloud, ladies and gentlemen, out of people's sight. And the world is going to watch that. What do you think they are going to say? And look at verse 9. He said, and when he has said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up in the cloud. This is the same thing. Now, this is, comes from Acts. This isn't the two witnesses. I'm giving you an example of how Jesus went up. When Jesus went up, he was talking to his disciples for 40 days. He was with them, he was teaching them, and all of that. And then it was time for him to ascend up into heaven. Well, when Jesus went up into heaven, he didn't disappear. He didn't just go poof and he was gone. He raised up from the earth and they watched him go up till they couldn't see him no more. Glory to God. That's how he went up. But this was in the first century, ladies and gentlemen. This is 33 AD. They didn't have no way to explain any of this. If that happened today, what would people say? What would people say? So we're going to see something like this again, but only it's going to happen to the two witnesses. They're going to take up from the earth, ladies and gentlemen, and go up into space, go up into heaven, in the heavens, in a cloud while the world is watching them. They were just dead, come back to life. Then they take off from the earth and go up into heaven and disappear in a cloud. I want you to think about what that means. I want you to think about what are the news media gonna say? What lies the Antichrist going to tell, ladies and gentlemen? I want you to listen to this. Once the two witnesses are taken up into heaven, the world watches in real time. The beast, then through global media, will undoubtedly lie about this. He's got to lie. What do you think he's going to do? Oh, get your Bibles out and turn to Revelation, chapter number 11, and you'll learn all about the Antichrist, and you'll learn about the beast, and you'll learn about the two witnesses, and you're going to learn about me getting destroyed here in a few chapters later. You think he's going to say that? You think he's going to say, turn to the Lord? No, that's Satan and him. They're all liars. They're going to lie. Glory to God. This is why our political thing is so messed up right now, because people are believing lies, ladies and gentlemen, on both sides. All politicians lie. It ain't just one side or the other. Listen, it's where we're at in time in the last days. So Satan is going to undoubtedly lie, ladies and gentlemen. And this is what I believe he's going to do. He's going to claim these two witnesses were of extraterrestrial origin. I want you to think about it. How else could it be explained about the power they had, their indestructibility, and when they did die, they came back to life, and then when they stood upon their feet, then they went up into heaven in front of everybody? What do you think they're going to say? They're not going to tell you to read the book of Revelation. They're not going to say, go buy a Bible and get saved. That's not the narrative that's going to come out. But people are going to accept that lie. They're going to accept it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, The global population will accept this report because Satan has inspired this lie through television, blockbuster movies, and about blockbuster movies about UFOs and all of that, and extraterrestrials and all that. That he's been putting that out there for decades. Glory to God. So the world is caught up on all of this. Some of the most popular movies of our time, glory to God, have been invasions from outer space and people coming from out there. Glory to God. So Satan is a liar and a deceiver, ladies and gentlemen. The one behind promoting all of the wickedness through all forms of media and entertainment, this will be the setup. They're going to respond to these two men who had the powers to shut up heaven, indestructible for 3.5 years, after they kill, come back to life, and then take up from the earth while people watch it. I want you to think about that. I want you to just let that float around in your brain for a while. This is why the book of Revelation is so important. God is telling us stuff that was impossible 2,000 years ago when John wrote it. Period. It's impossible. Now it's everyday living. We expect to see some. They had a shooting today. I think it was in Philadelphia, somewhere. Glory to God, watching real time as they barricaded the house. We're able to see things like that. We're able to see what happens in Ukraine. We're able to see what happens in Israel, reporting live right now. Right now, we can do that. Glory to God. So, ladies and gentlemen, where do the two witnesses go? They go up in the clouds. Where did Jesus go? He went up into heaven and the clouds received him. And the angels that stood by, read Acts 1 through 6 through 9, and 1 through 9 and all that. It talks about the angels say, "Why you men of Galilee, why are you sitting there?" They had their necks bent up, about to break their neck, looking up. And the angels say, "Why y'all looking up there? The same Jesus you seen go up, he's gonna come back in a like manner. Everybody's gonna see him. Y'all ain't gonna be able to miss it." Glory to God. So when the two witnesses are taken up, they're taken up in the clouds, ladies and gentlemen. In the clouds. Now, this is what I want to play for you. I want to play just one, about 60 seconds of some movie clips, ladies and gentlemen, of how Hollywood depicts how aliens come to the planet. I want you to see something and notice something here. In the name of Jesus. Something. I figured I would throw that in there just for entertainment purposes. What was interesting is in these sci-fi clips, ladies and gentlemen, notice how in the Independence Day and that other a movie called The Arrival, how the ships were veiled in clouds. And that's how they came to the earth, veiled in the cloud. Glory to God. And how that other ship was up in the clouds and all of a sudden it just disappeared. So it's images like these, it's images that come through the media about the UFOs and the aliens invasions and all of these things happening. Glory to God. And something's gonna come to the earth, and we have satellites like Hubble spacecraft and this new one they just put out there, so we can see and look out in outer space to see who's out there, to see if anybody's coming and all of that. That's why they do that. Why do you think one of the most important and most popular science fiction depictions for entertainment is invaders from space? Transformers, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, these things, the world, H.G. Wells, The War of the Worlds, all of these movies are depicting a narrative. It's a narrative that something is coming to the earth. Something that's stronger, something that's mightier, something that's more powerful. And so what happens is our attention through entertainment, we've already been programmed to understand that there's something that's coming to the earth, ladies and gentlemen. And so when the two witnesses are taken up into heaven in a cloud, glory to God, there's a narrative that's going to follow that, that's going to be a lie. In the name of Jesus. Revelation 11, 11 and 12, it says, then they went up into heaven in the cloud, and their enemies watched them. So this is the Bible. Now, what I just showed you was science fiction. That ain't real. That's Hollywood. We know that. But it's interesting how even in Hollywood, they depict the enemy coming in the clouds. Glory to God. I want you to notice that. Now, listen to this. Again, this is what happened when Jesus went up. And when he had said these things, they were looking on, and he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. So he went up to a certain level, then the cloud. And so this is how things happen for real on earth. People seeing this. Glory to God. Now, the Lord is not an extraterrestrial. And there's actually been people that have said that. There was a book out years ago called Chariot of the Gods by Eric Von Däniken, who came out and said Ezekiel, the things that Ezekiel's described, which was the seraphim, the cherubims and all of that, cherubims rather, he was trying to say that those were spaceships. Come on, they're completely dumb for them to think something like that. Glory to God. So this is what Paul teaches us, ladies and gentlemen. He says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. So he's talking about Satan and how Satan is the prince and the power of the air. He's the one who puts out all of the wicked messaging. It's not just talking about the airwaves in the sense that we're thinking about it, but it's Satan's sphere of influence in this wicked world system. He's the liar who is behind all this wickedness that you see on TV right now, ladies and gentlemen, all the violence, all the sex, all the lewd, every wicked thing that has been introduced to this planet has come through by some form of media. This is what makes the internet so dangerous, and it's so dangerous for our kids, because what goes in through the eye and the ear gate goes into your spirit, and it can affect you and have a great impact on you. And this is why Satan sets it up. This is why the Bible calls him the prince and the power of the air, the one who is working in the children of disobedience. He gets people to rebel against God through his influence and his power and his deception and his lies and his persuasion over pursuing materialism. All that's how he deceives people. That's he tried that on Christ. Look, took him up to a mountain and said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you bow and worship me. That's what he really wants. He wants people to worship him. And so the world doesn't understand that if you don't If you haven't been born again, you're already under condemnation, and you're the children of disobedience that are on your way to hell. Glory to God. And the devil don't want you to hear that message, but it's true. So Satan, the prince of the power of the air, has been preparing the world for this since H.G. Wells and the War of the Worlds, which he did on the radio first before the movie came out. This is not just entertainment. It is part of the setup, ladies and gentlemen. It's part of the setup. The world is being set up for this. Glory to God. Now, we're going to get into the book of Revelation, further into it, the chapter 16. I want you to look at this. It says, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. So we're there by a rock and all of them. That's where the river Euphrates runs. It says, and its water was dried up so the way could be prepared for the kings of the east. That's China, India, all of them. They're all kings of this. That's why it says, it doesn't say king of the East. It says kings, plural. It's more than, it ain't just China. Glory to God. The nation that has more people now that's just surpassed China is India. Glory to God. They have nuclear weapons just like China does. Glory to God. Prepare the ways of kings. And listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon. That's Revelation's way of saying Satan. And out of the mouth of the beast, that's the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. What came out of their mouths? Listen to this. Three unclean spirits, and John says they look like frogs, and they were spirits of demons. What were they doing? Performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Satan, the beast, and the false prophet are going to release demons that are going to go to the kings of the earth and supernaturally influence them. That's why I say they're going to be working miracles so they can send their troops to the battle of Armageddon. That's how they get there. I want you to listen to this now. Why is all this information in the Bible? Is there for a reason now? Listen to this. They say they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God, the Almighty. And they gather them together to the place in which in Hebrew is called Har Mageddon. That's in the NASB, but in the King James Version, it's Armageddon. R means the hill of Megiddo or the plain of Megiddo. Now, where the plain of Megiddo is, it's just north of Jerusalem. It's in Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel is key to end-time prophecy. And God, just like he said in the book of Zechariah, he says, I'm going to bring the whole world against Jerusalem to battle. He said, I'm going to make everybody turn on them. Everybody. He said, I'm going to destroy every nation that comes against Israel. Zechariah 14. Read it in your own time. Glory to God. But why did he send them demons out? To gather them together to the place which in the Hebrew tongue is called Armageddon. That's in the plain of Megiddo, which is in Israel. Glory to God. Armageddon, ladies and gentlemen, is not only the nations coming against Israel. It's not just that. That's part of it. Russia and all them, Persia, Libya, Ethiopia, Turkey, all of them, Eastern Europe, they're all going to march on Israel. That's Ezekiel 38, 39. We don't have time to go there. We'll go there some other time. He says, but Armageddon is not just the nations coming against Israel, but once the full assembly of nations are gathered there, they will then turn their attention towards heaven in anticipation of an intergalactic invasion. Now you got to remember where I'm going with this. We got to remember this. Now, this will be 3.5 years later after the two witnesses have already taken up off the earth and the whole world watches them go up. So the narrative at that point is going to be these people, these men were not human. They weren't from here. They weren't from here. So after they came back to life, they lifted up and they went somewhere out there, out of space. That's where they went. They didn't, they left the earth. So the whole idea will be, well, maybe they're gonna come back, maybe they're coming back with reinforcements and all of that. And so remember, you got to understand that Satan is a liar. And he's gonna send demons to these kings to deceive them to come to this battle. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. If God is about to invade the planet, and that's who you're going to be fighting against, let me give you some good advice. Good advice. You better call in sick that day. Because these guys have no idea who's really going to show up at this battle, because Satan's a liar. He's a liar. The whole world watched the two witnesses go up into space. Then they didn't see him no more. And all of a sudden, when it comes the right time, Antichrist is going to send them demons out. Satan's going to send them demons out. False prophet going to send them demons out. They're going to convince the king, send your army. We need help. We need reinforcements. Ladies and gentlemen, this has always been in your Bible. It's been there. Verse 19, this is what it says. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. So now we're in Revelation 19. The Lord is you know, this is the scene where he comes back on a white horse. We're going to read it in a second, but I just wanted to show you that the armies of the world, now at first they were coming, making a run on Israel, and they were wreaking havoc. Jerusalem's going to be damaged. It's going to be going to captivity. Women are going to be raped and all that, just like Hamas did. That's going to happen. There's going to be another big attack on Israel. I'm sorry, Netanyahu. This is going to happen again. The Bible says it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again to Israel. And so all of this is going to be going on. But all of a sudden, after all that fighting and all that confusion is going on in Jerusalem, the Antichrist is going to send them demons out. Them demons are going to bring them armies here. And they all say, wait a minute, let's quit fighting each other. We got to get ready for who's coming. We got to get ready for who's coming. And so this is why the Bible says, and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat on a horse and his army. Oh, glory to God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the beast will lie and possibly propose that the two witnesses will return with reinforcements. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, I know this. I know you've never heard it like this before. I know, I know, I know. And I know this sounds like right out of a science fiction movie, but it's really not so much out of a science fiction movie. It's really what the Bible said all the time before there was TV, before there was science fiction books, before any of this stuff happened. It was already in the Word of God. People have read the Bible and come up with science fiction movies. That's what's happening. The truth was already there. There, glory to God. This will play and possibly propose that the two witnesses will return with reinforcements. This will play into the deceptive UFO, extraterrestrial, and hostile alien invasion narratives spun through movies, media, and disinformation since the mid-20th century. The interest in extraterrestrials is a global phenomena and has mass appeal. We even got parts of the government that looks into these things. It was just on the news about the part of the government that studies FBI, UFOs and follows up on all of this stuff. Glory to God. This is real. This isn't something that's just in the comic books. This is real. This is everyday life. People are looking every day, listening every day, to see what they can hear from outer space, to hear about other life and other planets and life out there. Well, it's something out there, but they're not floating around in galactic spaceships like you think. Glory to God. Listen to this. Now, after the world watches the two witnesses lifting up from the earth in a cloud, the international community who saw this in real time will accept the idea of an extra as an accept the idea of an extent existential means an actual of an existential alien threat. They're actually going to believe this because it has been planted in the minds of the Earth population. Remember, Satan is the prince in the power of the air. All wicked messaging and stuff is he's responsible for all these lies, all the wickedness, and all of it. And this is what has people at each other's throat. It's the news, it's the media, it's all this stuff we consume. Glory to God, that's controlled by a liar, a wicked liar by the name of Satan. Satan is going to have an emissary, the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is going to be a liar just like he is. Glory to God. So you think they're going to tell the truth about the two witnesses? Of course they're not. They're going to lie about it. Glory to God. So listen to this. This is what the destruction of Antichrist. Paul talks about this in 2 Thessalonians. I want you to listen to this. It's important. You got to get this, ladies and gentlemen. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verses 8 through 12, King James Version. It says, then shall that wicked be revealed, talking about the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they may be saved. See, people willingly reject the message, willingly reject the truth, willingly believe a lie. So now what's going to end up happening? They're going to end up being destroyed and followed and by following the beast. Glory to God. Why do you think all this information's in our Bible? Why do you think it talks about it? So we can say, oh, the church is not going to be here. It doesn't apply to none of us and all. Oh, this stuff didn't have to be here. Revelation, oh, I don't have to read that because that doesn't apply to church. That's a lie, ladies and gentlemen. It's in the Word of God. All of the Word of God is for the church, especially what's written in the New Testament. It was given to the church. The revelation wasn't given to the people that are calling on Allah or calling on Buddha. Or calling on Hare Krishna. That's not who the world was getting. It was given to the church, to the saints. That's why we have it. That's why it's in our Bible. It's not an accident. Glory to God. Listen to this. Verse number 11. It says, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion so that they will believe a lie. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear me today. Hear what I'm saying. Ladies and gentlemen, see, Satan is a liar. Yes, he is. He's the deceiver. He's a destroyer. He's all of that. Yes. But the problem people are going to have in this time ain't just Satan. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be God that turns people over to strong delusion, so they will believe the lie. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me good. We are already seeing the power of a liar and lies working right now in millions of people under the deception of a liar. We're seeing it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand the power that is in this scripture. Since, listen to this, listen to this verse. Verse number 10, it says, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they would be saved, that they might be saved. And it is for this cause, because they see not the love of the truth that they might be saved, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. It's a lie that's going to be out there that the world is going to receive. that they may all be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Listen to what is being said, ladies and gentlemen. God is going to turn people over. Oh, glory to God. You in trouble with Satan. You certainly on bad footing with Satan, but if God is your enemy and he's the one that turns you over to a strong delusion so that you will believe the lie, then that's trouble, ladies and gentlemen. That's serious trouble. You don't have nobody to turn to when God is your enemy. If Satan is your enemy, you got God. But if God is your enemy, you in trouble. Glory to God. The armies of the world will be gathered with military weaponry and their pitiful armies. God's response, you know what it's going to be? Laughter. Look at what it says in the Psalms, the second Psalm, verses 1 through 6. Listen to this. This guy said, "Why are the nations in an uproar? And the peoples devising an evil thing. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heaven laughs." God is going, "Look at these pitiful little things down here. Think they can stand up against my son?" He actually laughs at them. Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business. He said, "Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain." Zion, you know these people that say, "I'm anti-Zionist and all this." You better watch yourself. You better watch it. Okay. Okay, glory to God. You know, in the name of Jesus. I'm just saying, don't get in strong delusion now. Glory to God. Listen to this. And this, listen to what it says in Isaiah. Now, this is even more serious. This is what the prophet Isaiah says. "Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket." He didn't say a nation. He said the nations. "And are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, he lifts up the islands like fine dust. Even Lebanon is not enough to burn." He's saying the whole country of Lebanon, that ain't even enough to burn. God is serious, ladies and gentlemen. I know I'm laughing, boy, but listen, it said, "Nor is beast enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. To whom will you then liken God? Or what likeness will you compare him to?" He's saying all the nations of the planet together are less than nothing. You are minus, you are double negative minus zero. Glory to God. I just made up a mathematical term, double negative minus zero. He said, "You are less than, oh, America, Russia, China, all these nuclear powers with all your little pitiful missiles and ships and all that. You actually think you can stand before God with a stupid rocket or a rifle or an RPG? You gonna fight God? Have you lost your last piece of good brain?" Glory to God. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. The day of the Lord now comes. The invasion from heaven. Now we're about to see D-Day. Make no mistake about it. There will be an invasion from the sky. Make no mistake about that. But it will not be extraterrestrials and intergalactic spaceships. It won't be that. No. But it will be the Lord of glory and the armies of heaven. That's who's coming to the fight. Glory to God. You're not going to see no Klingons. You're not going to see ET. Glory to God. You're not going to see the Transformers. That's not who's coming here. Who's coming here? They're coming from out there. They're coming from the sky. Yes, that's going to happen. And it is going to be an army. And the earth is going to be invaded. Yes, that's going to happen. And it's all in Revelation and Zechariah 14. Let's look at it. I saw heaven open up. Oh, Lord have mercy. Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen, just imagine the armies in Armageddon. They all got their missiles, they training, they got their rockets, they got their lasers, they got their machine guns and all that. They looking, they waiting. They waiting, they thinking them two witnesses and reinforcements is coming back. That's what they think. They was able to kill them. They say Antichrist was able to kill them again. We gonna win again this time. We gonna win this time. You got people that keep losing, talking about next time I'm gonna win. That's what they're gonna say. They go, next, maybe they can win next time. So they got all their weapons. Then, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said all of a sudden, heaven's just gonna open. And all of a sudden they're gonna see something. And behold, a white horse, not a spaceship, not a tractor beam, not somebody doing warp speed, not all that crazy stuff we've seen on Star Trek, glory to God, but a horse. You see, God wouldn't make a machine. That's what humans would do, because we can't fly, we can't do nothing. We have to make machines to do stuff. God is not like that. God has a God. If God wants to do something like that, he has a living organism, a being that he could use to do the same thing. But we don't know how to do that. My man don't know how to make an eyeball. We can make a camera. We don't know how to make an eyeball from living tissue that came from a germinated egg, glory to God, a fertilized egg. They keep splitting and splitting and splitting and have a genetic code written, a mathematical genetic code written in there would tell you which color your eyes are and all of that. All of that designed by God, just it didn't just fall out of space somewhere. No. God did all of this. He's going to be on a white horse. And he who sat on it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and wages war. So when God came the first time, he didn't come as a warrior. He coming as a warrior this time. The first time it was a lamb, this time it's as a lion. And he's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Listen, he said, verse 12, his eyes as a flame of fire. And on his head are many crowns or diadems here. Glory to God. And his name is, and he has a name written on him, which no one knows except he himself. Now, there's some people that were big on the name and saying it right and this thing and that. And look, God got a name don't none of us know. They could probably, and probably couldn't even pronounce it. All right, so. We get caught up on stuff, right? He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. John says, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Glory to God. And the Word was manifested in the flesh. That's his name, the Word of God. And listen, verse number 14, and the armies which are in heaven, clothed in white linen, clean and white, were following him on white horses. So when the Lord comes back, he comes back with an invading army. And this army comes from heaven, ladies and gentlemen, on white horses. These guys are down there in Armageddon with tanks. Listen, let me just break this down real easy for you. The Lord is bulletproof, okay? You're not gonna be able to shoot that God. You're not gonna be able to shoot no RPG at God. Come on, and what? These Satan's gonna be done trick these people out of their socks. They're gonna be sitting out here like sitting ducks, and God is gonna get them, boy. Listen, he said, and the armies of which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, are following him on white horses, and from his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword that he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of a fierce wrath. wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh was a name was written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Glory to God. And so now we're going to backtrack a little bit and go back to Revelation chapter 14, because this it's talking about the same climatic event. And listen to this, verse 19, 14, 19, it says, so the angel swung his sickle to the earth and gathered the clusters from the vine of the earth and threw them into the great winepress of the wrath of God, scene in 14 actually takes place in Revelation 19, but we get an inkling of it in chapter 14. And listen to this. And the wine press was trodden down outside of the city, which is going to be in Megiddo. Glory to God. And blood came out of the wine press up to the horse's bridle, which is about 5 or 6 feet, for the distance of 200 miles. Blood, ladies and gentlemen, blood. It's going to flow 5, 6 feet deep for 200 miles. Glory to God. What a mighty God we serve. You don't want to be on the wrong side of this. The church going to be with him. No, we're going to be in them white horse. We're going to be on a horse, boy, a heavenly horse, glory to God. So listen what happens, what ends up happening to the beast. And the beast was taken. First thing what the Lord do, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them, which had received the mark of the beast, and on them that worship his image, and both of these were cast alive into the lake of fire, with burning with brimstone. That's the second death, cast alive in there. These are they're the first ones who go in. Glory to God. Ooh, don't play with God. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat on a horse, the sword that proceeded out of his God. God gonna wipe all of them out. The army that's with him ain't even gonna have to fight, but they're gonna be there. That's why Jesus told Pilate, he said, if my kingdom were from this world, then my servants would be fighting. The kingdom switch over to him. Now he's fighting. Now he's coming back. Ain't nobody going to be talking about a crown of thorns, nothing of that. They ain't going to be hitting him. They ain't going to be pulling his beard. They ain't going to be shaming him. Uh-uh. That was when he was a lamb. He came here for that. Glory to God. Listen to what it said. God is just. This is what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, talking about this day. He said, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who troubled you. He's talking to the saints at Thessalonica, and by extension, us, and give relief to you who are troubled, and to you and to us as well. This will happen. When will this happen? He said, this will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction, everlasting. That's the lake of fire, ladies and gentlemen, and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. And on that day, he comes to be glorified with his holy people and to be marveled at among those who believe. This includes you because you have believed our testimony to you. Paul said, this includes you, you Thessalonians. This includes you who are listening out there today. This includes the saints and the glorious saints who will come back with the Lord. We won't be on earth during the battle of Armageddon. We won't be here. See, we'll be gone by that time. Definitely by that time. Glory to God. And so when we'll come back in that battle, glory to God, we're going to be with him. And he said, this is when God is going to make all accounts. He said, the people that bothered you, he said, we're going to get them. He said, when will this happen? When the Lord returns with his powerful angels. He said, this includes you. You that are listening. Glory to God. Oh, this is powerful stuff. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to end. We got to talk about the birds. The birds. The birds. Glory. I don't know if many of you know this, but this is a scene from the movie, The Bird. The Birds is a 1963 blockbuster movie directed by Alfred Hitchcock. It is a fictional account of various species of birds attacking a small town in the San Francisco Bay Area called Bodego Bay. Glory to God, they were in the Bay Area. Glory to God. And this is where this happened, where in the setting of the film is where it happened. And as you can see, the kids are running, and that's the one of the ladies, that's the Tippi Hepburn, the star, glory to God. And the kids are running, and the birds are attacking them and eating them. They were killing everybody. Glory to God, the birds. So, Dr. Woods, how did you go from the Lord to the birds? What's the birds got to do with this? Well, we're about to see. The Great Supper of God. The Great Supper of God. Listen to what your Bible says. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in mid-heaven, come assemble yourself for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of commanders and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and those who sat on them and the flesh of all men, both free men, slaves, small and great. That's Revelation 19, 17 and 18. He said, I got an angel that'll speak to the birds. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, every creature God has can communicate. Well, we may not be able to understand it. Just like your dog or your cat don't understand you, you know, they might understand their name and relate it, but you can't read the newspaper to them like that. You can't, and when they talk to each other, we can't understand it. You know, birds and animals, they talk to each other. They have language and they understand language, but it's theirs. We'll never be able to crack that. We'll never know what them songs mean or what they're saying. It just sounds like grrr, to us, that'll mean nothing. But it's like that with other human beings when we don't understand the language. It is just wrong. It's simply not, it's a communication you can't understand. It doesn't mean it's not intelligible to somebody else. But the angels are able to speak to the birds. They can talk to them. And so God is going to release an angel. And guess what this angel is going to do? He's going to call for the birds. And I want you to imagine a place in Megiddo where all these bodies are going to be, where the blood runs for 200 miles. The Bible said they're going to be burying their bodies for months after the Lord comes back. In the valley of Hamengog, it says it's going to stop the noses of those that pass by. And so what God does, he doesn't call waste management to come and put them in garbage. No. He calls the animals because he's the God of glory. He's the God of all creation. He can speak to anything. He can use anything in creation, Lord God. So what does he do? He calls for the birds to come. And I want you to imagine what a thunderstorm looks like when a distant dark clouds are approaching. And I want you to imagine the blackened sky is millions and millions and millions of birds come to the plain of Megiddo to eat the carrion of all the dead men and women that are going to be there rotting while these birds come and gorge themselves. God said, I'm prepared a good feast for you. Let me just read it again. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in mid-heaven, come assemble yourself for the great supper of God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of commanders and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and them that sit upon them and the flesh of all men, free and slaves and all of them. You're going to eat their flesh. Rich men. Listen to this. And it says, and the rest were killed with the sword which came out of the mouth of him that sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Then Ezekiel chimes in. Ezekiel 38 and 39, very important chapter, talks about Russia, Ethiopia, Libya, all those nations coming to attack Israel in the last days. All these are allies of Russia right now and enemies of Israel, all lining up just like prophecy said. But listen to what it says. It says, you will fall. This is talking about Russia and them when they come to attack Israel. Hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. Glory to God. He says, you will fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the peoples who you are with you. And I will give you as food to every kind of predatory bird and the beast of the field. God said, I'm going to let the animals eat you. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call them. So not only according to Ezekiel, not only the birds, but the predatory animals. As a matter of fact, one of the judgments under the seal judgments is a lot of death is going to start coming by animals. Animals are going to start attacking people and eating people. Oh, glory to God. It's in there. It's in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, this concludes my lesson. All of these type of teachings are going to be in my commentary. The name of the commentary is the Revelation Commentary, a unique pre-wrath perspective by yours truly, Dennis James Woods, coming to a store near you, Lord willing, this year, hopefully this summer, this fall, and I'm gonna release it worldwide. We're gonna promote it and everything. Ladies and gentlemen, the book that nobody reads today. The book that pastors rarely teach out of. The book that Christians just don't read or pay attention to. Some have been told, many have been told it doesn't apply to the church. That's not true. The prudent thing is know it just in case, because it is the word of God. Listen, as we get closer and closer to these times, the book of Revelation is going to be the most important book in the Bible. People are going to run to this book when they start seeing all this stuff happen. And it's God's love for the church that what he did is he wrote history in advance. He put the future in a book that's over 2,000 years old. He did it so the generation that's living at that time will know what's coming, because the world's not going to know, ladies and gentlemen. Revelation has the information about a time that Jesus had said has no equal, has no equal. Matthew 24, 21. He said, for a time of trouble comes that has not been since the beginning of the world up until his time, nor will ever be. So what that means is there's nothing to compare it to. There's nothing in history you can grab to actually, you can't look at the World War II and say it's going to be like that, and it's going to be way worse than that. You can't look at even the destruction of the earth in the flood. Because God said, I'm never going to do that again. So it ain't going to be water, it's going to be fire. Glory to God. Some things may be a little piece of it, like Sodom and Gomorrah. Nothing compared to Sodom and Gomorrah. Not this. And so, since there's nothing to compare it to, that's what the book of Revelation is. Revelation gives you all the information. There's not another book on this planet like the book of Revelation. And it comes with a blessing for those who read it. My commentary is going to help people understand it. A verse-by-verse commentary is coming soon. Listen, time for me to go in Jesus' name. God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. We'll see you next time.